ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
It's a familiar spectacle in Chinatowns across Australia. The tasselled hanging lanterns, the brilliant reds, golds and greens of a snaking dragon, colourful lions out on the street darting this way and that. The air, thick with the acrid sulphurous smoke of firecrackers, and wherever you go, you hear that thunderous beat of drums, cymbals and gongs. And of course, the food. Seductive smells wafting from street stalls and restaurant kitchens. Yes, it's Lunar New Year. It was Chinese New Year when I was younger, but this celebration marking the first new moon of the lunar solar calendar, it's celebrated right across Asia in unique ways with unique foods. You'll encounter celebrations in Mongolia, in Singapore, Thailand, Malaysia. For Vietnamese people, their Lunar New Year celebration is Tet. And in a Vietnamese home, around this time, your household deities are expected to take a brief trip back to heaven.
There's a stove god. I think he gets sent back in the next couple of days to heaven to report on your household and talk about, you know, look, they're not doing really well. Can you help them out? Or they're doing really good. Continue what you're doing. So he goes back to report.
Meanwhile, Lunar New Year for Koreans, Solal, includes a very special dish without which you will never age.
Yeah, in Korea, like, you get one more year on the New Year's Day. But to be able to make it happen, you have to have rice cake soup. If you don't have that, you don't get age.
I'm Jonathan Green, and this is Every Bite from ABC Radio National. It's all about food and the places where food, culture, science and history collide. This week, Feasts of Fortune. The festive flavours of Lunar New Year.
We've got some images of our of dragons coming down Swanston Street in 1901 when the Duke of York, who then became king, opened the first parliament at the Exhibition Buildings. That's when it was the first Australian parliament. And there was two dragons. There was one from the Sea Up Society in South Melbourne, actually. It's a temple here. And there was one from Bendigo that came down. And they're operating from the Gold Rush onwards. I'm Mark Wong. I'm the CEO at the Museum of Chinese Australian History. I have a great interest in that because the museum's a community museum about Chinese Australians. And I'm a fifth generation Chinese Australian.
Tell me about that, five generations.
Yeah, my it's well documented that my great-grandfather came in 1855 during the Gold Rush. But it says in the community records, Chinese community records, one line that says, and his father came 20 years before him. That's all we know about our great-great-grandfather, is one line of history. And we have lots of people who come into the museum who go back that far. But generally speaking, most Chinese people who've gone back that far, they're now are mixed race people. Like my grandchild now is half Italian, quarter Chinese, part Polish, part English. And Jewish.
This is the Australian story.
Yeah, that's the Australian story. That's how it should be.
Food is such a fundamental part of Chinese culture. Around Lunar New Year, what are we likely to see on offer?
Oh, there are things like fish. Fish is yu, and that means abundance. Another food of New Year is glutinous rice layered cake. Called Nian Gao, and it sounds like meaning higher position or income. And Chinese, traditions are all about either wealth or health or happiness. And so there are things that are, you know, sound like other words. They've got a double meaning in their words. And chicken is the same. It's a ji, and that's meaning good luck and prosperity. And then there are other things that look the same. So, like steamed dumplings, they look like silver ingots. So they serve all these dumplings. That's a sign of wealth as well. And there's fried noodles that are long, and so that represents long life. So there's also a physical nature that actually provides meaning to those food elements.
In your own personal celebrations of New Year, what are your favourite treats?
I'm a sweet tooth, so I like the the sticky dumplings, the round dumplings that mean togetherness of the household. They've got black sesame paste inside in a clear sweet soup. And if you would ever go to a Chinese New Year dinner, you'd always have those dumplings.
And in the process of New Year, what if you take us day by day through New Year, what takes place?
It's a 14-day event, actually. And there's a process. You have to go and visit your nearest family first. There's a whole process of visiting all the relatives and paying respects to all the people right through the 2 weeks. And then there's certain things like a lantern festival at the end of the 2 weeks. And there's all traditions like you have to clean out your house and you've got to pay off bad debts and really just turn over a new leaf. So you're busy doing that, but at the same time, there's all this festivity going on that, you know, people come out to celebrate, and then food is the centre of that.
Is there a story you remember? Is there a particular New Year that rings in your memory?
Well, I was responsible for getting the dragon from China in the 1980s. That's when Chinese New Year started in well and truly in Melbourne, in Chinatown. And we had a smaller dragon, and then they the association asked some people in Chinatown, could you get another dragon for us? And I put up my hand and said, yeah, we import stuff from China, our family, so we'll just go and get one for you. But the really difficult thing, it was the end of the Cultural Revolution in the 1970s, in 1980. When I went back there, there was no dragon factory, so we had to go and try to find someone who could make a dragon. It was quite an ordeal.
Wow.
So we rekindled dragon making in China at that time.
Actually. Well done.
So that's a sort of an achievement I feel proud of.
Yeah, the diaspora having that sort of cultural feedback.
Yeah, like, you know, I hear that Greeks are more Greek in Australia than they are in Greece. And it's the same with Chinese. We've got customs here. And I say to a Chinese person from Shanghai or whatever, do you ever see a dragon go down the streets in Shanghai? They say no.
Where is that dragon now that you brought back?
It's in the museum, the head and parts of it in the museum. Then we got a new dragon in 2000.
Do they get named?
Yeah, that's their first dragon was Melbourne Dailong, Melbourne Big Dragon. And the second one in 2000 was called the Millennium Dragon, and that's what we parade now in the street.
Mark Wong, CEO at the Museum of Chinese Australian History. So that's the Lunar New Year celebration I'm most familiar with. But for more than 300,000 Australians with Vietnamese ancestry, this time of year is known as Tet.
For me, Tet is celebrating with the family, remembering my culture and my ancestors, and getting myself ready for the next year. And, you know, it's really important now that I get to celebrate it with my children. My name is Jerry Mai. I am a Vietnamese-Australian chef, also very fortunate to be the exec chef of Rolled Australia, and I do all things Vietnamese.
Your father, Cambodian-born, your mother's Vietnamese-Chinese. That's a richness there.
There is. And, you know, growing up, I was very fortunate to have this Cambodian food and culture in my life, but also that Vietnamese with the Chinese background in it as well. So, you know, I guess I'm lucky I get to celebrate three New Years.
Well, I was going to say, all of that must come together in New Year. Right? Yeah. It's sort of a big confluence.
Well, I get to celebrate three, right? I get to celebrate our standard, you know, end of December and January New Year. And then I get to celebrate Lunar New Year or Tet. And then I get to celebrate Cambodian New Year around April, which is the same as the Thai New Year.
What happens in Tet?
Oh, what doesn't happen in Tet? Oh, my Lord. I love Tet. That, to me, how I like to explain it, is like a Western Christmas where all the family gets together, we argue, we eat. I get a red packet. I don't get a present that I never need and never look at again. I get a red packet and there's money in there. And you
always
know what?
That's useful.
So useful, right?
How does it work in who gives the packets and who receives?
All kids get red packet. Once you get married, you don't get a red packet anymore. Then you have to start giving out red packets. So, you know, I was making bank when I was a kid. And then when I grew up, I got married about 8 years ago.
Packets for you.
No more packets. And, you know, my mum now gives me a token packet.
What's in that?
Not a pineapple anymore. Like a $10 note, a $20 note, when I used to get a lot more.
So Tet runs over how many days?
So that is really a whole month of celebration. If you're in Vietnam, it's a whole month of celebration. Everybody in the city goes back to their hometown or the home village to spend time with their family. And then the main days are Tet Eve, the first, the second, and the third.
Do you have big memories of it as a young person?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Brisbane, and I grew up in Melbourne as well. That eve, we would be at our parents' house eating. They'll have, again, you know, how we celebrate is we have a big altar ancestral table, and the main dishes on there, like a whole fish, steamed chicken, tatka is always there, everything, anything that we had was plentiful. So we offered that to the ancestors, and then we'd eat after them because, you know, they eat first, and then we'd go to temple. So I spend that eve at temple, watching the lion dance, the performance, praying to the ancestors. And then on the table, on our table and most Vietnamese tables, they will have gan hu wa, which is bitter melon soup. So the theory with that is you eating away the bitterness from last year. And then on the table, there's always a whole fish because you're eating from the whole thing for prosperity. There's always prawns of some sort on there. So it's a lot based around, you know, the meanings of it,
and also
the symbolism of the orange colour, the red colour for good fortune into the new year.
Okay. And so that, I mean, it has great similarities across the various celebrations of Lunar New Year. Mm. There is real crossover.
Yeah, look, I mean, don't forget, Vietnamese has come from a very strong Chinese heritage and a Chinese background. You know, we do send the gods back to heaven. There's a stove god. I don't know if you know the stove god.
Tell me about the stove god.
There's a stove god. I think he gets sent back in the next couple of days to heaven to report on your household and talk about, you know, look, they're not doing really well. Can you help them out? Or they're doing really good. Continue what you're doing. So all throughout that in Vietnam, there's always thịt kho, which is braised pork belly and egg in coconut water. So you eat that for the next 2-3 days because you're not supposed to cook again because he's gone on holidays.
So he can't touch the stove?
No. I think he comes back on the 4th or 5th or something like that.
Normal service can be resumed.
Yeah, normal service in the household can resume. We can all eat again. And, you know, you don't end up doing anything for the first 3-4 days of Tet except drinking and eating and gambling. Did I say that out loud?
Well, that's your red package. You can just fritter it away. You're a parent yourself now and you have your own family. What have you kept up? What is important to you in those traditions to keep in your own household now?
Look, you know, we still go see my mum on that eve. We'll light incense as we always have. We'll have a big feast. If it's not too late, then we'll go to the temple as well. And then I think over the years, my mother has, as she's gotten older, she doesn't do big celebrations anymore. So I've taken the baton.
This is what's supposed to happen.
Yeah, so I take the baton now. So I'll have a party at my house and we'll invite all our friends, family, and we'll just have a big feast.
Your family had it was a tough process coming to this country. They were refugees, spent time in a refugee camp. You did as a young person. Was Tet still a thing in the camp? How strong was that sense of celebration that even in that setting it could take place?
Look, you know what? Vietnamese people are very resourceful, so resourceful, right? We fled a country that wasn't where we want to be anymore and going to refugee camps. And, you know, there's still that feeling of community, family, getting together. They still, whatever they could get while in the refugee camp, you know, they'll celebrate with whatever they could get. I was quite young, actually, when I was in the refugee camp. But I remember the altar. And because, you know, you're in a refugee camp, we don't get a lot of things. Mm. But I remember just sitting there and I was staring at this apple like I was Eve. I was staring at this apple. It looked so perfect and it was bright red. And I'm just like, come on, incense, come on. I needed the incense to burn down before I could have this apple.
Because while the incense is burning, it's your ancestors eating that.
Correct,
apple.
Correct, correct. So, you know, I had to wait patiently, and a 3-4-year-old waiting patiently. Have you ever seen that?
This is the great thing about tradition of this sort. Yes, it's there in the good times. It's there also in the hard times. It sees you through difficulty.
Yeah, I think so. You know, even when my parents first came to Australia, we lived in Brisbane. It was a very hard struggle as well. And actually still having the community around you, realising that's our biggest celebration and our culture, really. It doesn't matter if you're Buddhist or Catholic or Christian. It's still a tradition that we all share together as a country.
Is it the time when you perhaps feel most Vietnamese?
Look, when I look in the mirror, I know I'm Vietnamese, but but definitely I get to share it with my children and my new partner. She's German, so, you know, I get to share that with them as well, and a different culture for them and a different experience for them. It's really nice to tell them the stories as well.
We couldn't have had this conversation without food.
How could we?
Well, indeed, it would be wrong. What have you brought?
So I bought just a couple little snacks here. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, you know how I said we eat bitter melon to get rid of the bitter year in the past year? So we spend the first part of the year eating sweets. So we eat candy, we eat candied coconut, we've got peanut candy here, I've got some sesame candy here. So you eat sweet things, so for the rest of the year you're going to have sweet words.
I like that idea.
And the other thing that I don't think you could have dirt without, and if you're from the north, it's called bun chung, which is square. It's a thing that you get together with your family and you're up like literally all night wrapping this banana leaf with sticky rice and mung bean and pork in there. Then you've got to put it in these huge pots and they've got to cook for like 6-7 hours. So it's a whole big community thing for that. In the south though, we call it bun taek, which is a long log. Same filling, same concept, same everything.
Different shape.
Different shape. And so all through Tet, you eat the tet kho, you eat bun taek because it's soft. You don't have to cook it or anything. You can just peel it open. I'll peel one now.
Here we
you
go.
You just peel it open and you can just eat it. So in there, as you can see, is this beautiful marinated pork belly.
Wow, that's wonderful richness in there.
Yeah,
it's not
and
just
mung
a couple
beans.
Of specks of pork.
That's no, it's proper. Like, you know, we love our pork in Vietnam. I'm going to get you to try this.
I'm going to. I will not be denied.
This is cooked yesterday, so it's still really nice and soft. But after a couple of days, you can imagine it hardens up. And my favourite way to eat it is fried.
I was going to say, that's an opportunity for frying.
Yeah, because you get the crispy on the outside and inside is still really soft and really gelatinous in there.
That's delicious.
See, you are Vietnamese right now.
So Vietnamese.
So Vietnamese right now. And then you can just finish off with some pieces of candy and that's it. Sweet words next year.
What have we got? Now, which is, there's
a variety.
There's a sesame thing here in sort of rectangles. There's little pink globules, little pink atoms. They're like a molecular model. It's beautiful. What's that?
That's got peanut inside it. So it's just a candy on the outside.
Okay.
It's a sugar candy.
Oh, crunch. Mm. Yum. Oh, more of those.
And you can see why they're saying, like, you know, you eat all these sweet things, that sweet words,
words
will come.
Words will be sweet.
Yeah.
That's renowned chef Jerry Mai, and this is Every Bite from ABC Radio National. I'm Jonathan Green. Well, the final guide on our culinary tour of Lunar New Year feasting is Mika Che, head chef of the modern Korean diner Doju in Melbourne. He's invited me into the kitchen, where he's about to whip up a very important New Year's dish and give me the lowdown on Korean New Year, Seollal.
So basically, we whole family gather together. So every cousin, they meet together. We have to prepare a lot of food, and then we do ceremony for our ancestors.
How many cousins have you got?
All together, 20. It's quite a big family.
That's a bit of food.
Yeah.
And that seems to be, with all Lunar New Year celebrations, and there are so many different traditions, but the thing in common, I think, is family. And food is, of course, a part of that day.
Yeah, it's a massive, massive food preparation going. So the Seollal is a 3 days holiday. So basically 1 day, you can travel somewhere to your cousin's house, our family house, or the family who is hosting need to prepare food basically one whole day for them.
How do you work out who hosts?
Usually the biggest brother, I mean the oldest brother or sister, and the sibling member, or the all grandparents. That's why my mom wasn't happy sometimes, because my dad is the oldest one. He's the only son, actually. He got 4 sisters, so always the ceremony
every
was at my
year,
home.
Every all this year. Food.
Yes. When I was a kid, I liked the part gathering with my cousins that play together. But before that, I had to prepare a lot of food together or clean the entire house. That was a bit too much for me when I was a kid.
It's a lot to do.
And there's one particular dish, is there not? Tell me about this.
Yeah, there's one particular dish always have to have. It's a rice cake soup, or we call it dokguk. That means, like, New Year's Day, we're going to get one more year, one more age.
Well, tell me about that, because, I mean, in Western cultures, your birthday is when you get a year older, but not so in Korean culture.
Yeah, in Korea, like, you get one more year on the New Year's Day. But to be able to make it happen, you have to have rice cake soup. If you don't have that, you don't get age.
See, I kind of like that idea. I will be permanently young if I avoid the rice cake soup.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I wanted to be an adult as soon as possible. Ah. So I drank 3-4 bowls. But the fact is, I didn't get 3 years. Nothing happened.
Just 1 year at a time.
Yeah, always.
What have we got?
So I got the beef, because the rice cake soup base will be like beef.
Looks rather lovely beef. It's beautifully marbled.
I only have Wagyu in my restaurant, so this is a bit luxury rice cake soup.
Okay, let's begin.
All right, I'll heat up the pot first. Bit of vegetable oil. Got some sesame oil. Should it smell or it's good?
Lovely smell of the sesame oil and the beef there.
Yeah, that's
lovely combination.
Beautiful combination. Oh, like sesame oil is like a kind of soul in Korean food. So you can't miss. Pretty much we put most of Korean food the sesame oil. The beef is slightly brown, so I'll add some minced garlic. Minced garlic will burn really quickly, so I wouldn't cook too much at all as well. So I just want to get some spiciness out.
So your beef is almost done when the garlic goes in.
Yes. So, yep, now it smells good. And
soy sauce goes in.
Yes. Once you start to boil, I'll add stock. I made some broth here, like a really simple dashi broth. So basically like kelp and dried shiitake mushroom. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have much flavor, but it gives some umami and gives some depth of body. Yeah. So like we cook at least 20 dishes.
Okay.
And then we put it in the long table, and then we bow over there.
So tell me about how that is then set out.
Yeah. So like a lot of seasonal fruit, and then some vegetable, marinated vegetable. Mm-hmm. And then some cooked, like a fish. In Korea, we use a lot of egg battered pancake. It's called jeon. So either you use fish or vegetable or some sliced beef. Mm-hmm. So you lightly toss with the flour and egg batter and then pan fry. And it looks like this.
Oh, nice.
And then some rice, and then dokguk rice cake soup. And some of the soju, which is Korean spirit. And then we believe our ancestors will come and sit down and have meal together.
So that's the ancestors?
Yes.
Okay.
When you start ceremony, we put some spoon on the actual rice cake soup. Mm-hmm. So we just pretend they're having meal. And then we wait like 10-15 minutes until they finish. And then...
then you begin.
Yeah, and then we start eating.
Okay.
This is the rice cake. Soak in the water a little bit.
So tell me about that. How's that made?
Oh, you just cook the rice, steam it, and then you punch them, or you nowadays use machine. So it's like a mochi, but it's a lot more denser, harder.
And these are tiny little scallops of the
of the like rice scallops.
They do, don't they? Yeah. That same sort of, like you'd cut through a golf ball.
Yeah.
Rice cake's amazing. I mean, the texture of it is so smooth.
It's so smooth. And chewy, but like pleasantly chewy texture.
Okay. Is that another reason you don't want to cook too long in there? Will the texture change if it's...
if you cook too long, it'll be too soft probably. So it'll make actually too chewy.
A bit al dente, too sticky. For the rice cake, to mix our cultural references.
Yeah, true, yeah. Korean al dente. I just check seasoning a little bit.
In your family, who makes the soup?
My mom makes the soup, and... with my grandma together.
Okay.
So grandma is head chef and my mom will follow her.
So in your family's house, as you're getting close here now to this being done, what's happening around the house? What are people doing?
My dad and grandpa will be very busy for setting up the table. Mm-hmm. So my mom and my grandma will cook
So I guess the soup will perhaps the last thing to come out, is that?
Yeah, soup will be the last thing. Hmm. All the cold food plated up.
Yeah, it's all there ready, yeah. Waiting to go.
Yeah, and when the soup is ready, we put it and then we start ceremony.
Wait for your ancestors.
Yes. And then I have to open the door a little bit.
To let them in?
Yeah.
Okay. Just testing one of the rice cakes here.
Oh. It's ready.
I think you approve.
Yeah. Now I got some garnishes here. So first thing, I put like chopped spring onion, fresh. This is just cooked egg, sliced.
Cut into beautiful long slivers.
Yes. Then this is the toasted nori. I toast it in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So this nori is crispy, but when it goes into the soup, it goes really, I would say soggy, soft, but it releases beautiful flavor. Mm. So this is the like real final touch of the seasoning.
And beautiful color too, the black color of that nori against the green of the spring onion.
Then I have some chili.
They are magnificent. Beautifully done.
Thanks so much.
You could do this for a living.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there's only one thing to do now, is to eat and age.
Let's have lunch.
We get older.
Well, just one more year.
Okay.
We mix everything.
Do you go beef first or rice cake or both?
Like all together.
Oh, okay. That is yum. So I will soon be 1 year older.
Yeah, but you have to finish the whole bowl.
So I could stop and only grow 6 months?
Yeah, now it's at the moment 6 months.
Is there a New Year salutation? Is there? What would you say to each other in your family?
We say 새해 복 많이 받으세요. It means Happy New Year in Korean.
I'm not even going to try.
We can break it down. 새해.
새해.
복 많이.
많이.
받으세요.
받으세요.
Oh, perfect. You sounds like Korean.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Noodle, rice cake, dumpling, or peanut candy. The Lunar New Year is a feasting time full of rich tastes and meaning, a time for family, past and present, a time to celebrate with full bellies and high hopes. It's an extra special time in this country, a place so many Asian communities call home, a hot pot of celebratory traditions all united in the slim light of the new moon. Every Bite is your weekly journey to the places where food, culture, science and history collide. Every Bite tells a story. And thanks to our guests, Mark Wong, Jerry Mai and Miga Che. You can hear Every Bite on ABC Radio National or any time at all on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts. And share us round like a noodle or a peanut candy. And we love hearing what you think of the show. Perhaps you have an idea for a future episode. Shoot us an email, everybite, all one word, at abc.net.au, everybite at abc.net.au. Every Bite is made on Wurundjeri country and produced by Kim Jurek. I'm Jonathan Green.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. You can discover more ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.